Benfica Podcast is one of the founding members of Benfica Independent. Benfica Independent is an independent platform made by fans for fans. And in it, you can find our podcast, along with many other podcasts, along with articles of opinion, video segments, and much, much more. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/Benfica Independent, with exclusive contents for our patrons.
Hasta que no estás aquí dentro no sabes la grandeza de este equipo. Sí, es un club que tiene una grandeza que no se comprende si no estás aquí dentro.
Son de una magia única, benfiquista. Só nós sentimos assim. Por muitos desgostos que possamos ter, valores mais altos se levantam. E o valor mais alto que se levanta em termos futebolísticos chama-se Benfica.
Quero o Benfica intimidar o adversário. Quero o manto sagrado entrar com vocês em qualquer estado e assustá-los, pá! É isso que eu quero!
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Talking to the Doll Benfica podcast. My name is Alfredo Fumaças, coming to you live every week, bringing you the latest and whatever's happening in Benfica world. I can't say greatest, Cristiano. I cannot say greatest because...
What would you say greatest? Why would you add greatest?
The latest and greatest in Benfica land, but I don't know if I could say greatest. What do you think? Cristiano's with me tonight, as always. What's happening, Cristiano?
Olá.
Diz olá, senhores.
Want to say hello to all the Freddies. So far, Chico Marcelino, campeão. Justin Aragão, Chico Marcelino once again. Nick Valadão, Diogo Reis. All the usual suspects are in chat. We'll wait a couple more minutes to make sure a couple of you guys, join us.
I know that Dave was adjusting his microphone. Dave, how you doing, Dave?
What's going on, guys? How's it sound?
Sound good, Dave.
Sound great. Sound great, Dave.
Yeah, we're good.
Dave, keep talking because I'm trying to watch the ending of this Rangers Devils game.
He's trying to watch the ending. It's 4-0. What's there to watch?
4-0, 7 minutes ago.
Wasn't Benfica up 10 points? Wasn't Benfica up 10 points just a week ago?
Not with 7 minutes left. More like with 7 games left.
Remember seeing?
How's everybody feeling? Thank you all the Freddies for coming in and joining us. We appreciate that very much. I know that it's not the easiest these days, and some of us might rather be doing house chores than talking about Benfica. I know I had to pull Cristiano away from the dishwasher. But Cristiano's here. We're all here. And look, I think as Benfiquistas, I think that do Benfica não se desiste. You know, you don't give up on Benfica. You know, it's like a kid. You don't turn your back on your kids. You know? So, here we are for another podcast, episode number...
Tu já estás a dar...
Tu a dar corda.
I'm trying to, like, kill time.
Trying to kill time?
Waiting for some more Freddies to join us. And you're like, it's like our kids. I mean... Listen,
do you turn your back on your kids? You don't.
We all love our children, but sometimes our children need a puxão de orelhas, bro.
Mais?
Primeiro, I'm not trying to get locked up.
Primeiro foi o Red Pass. Os gajos do Red Pass. Agora é o gajo da comunicação.
É culpa de todos. Menos os jogadores.
E do treinador.
It's everybody's fault. Even the fans. Me in the United States of America, it's my fault. Because, you know, I don't always have nice things to say about the rest of the squad. But nonetheless, man, look, this has been a very, very, very trying last week and a half. It's been tough. And as you said, Alfredo, before we even get into the game on Saturday, but as you said, you can't turn your back.
You don't turn your back on your kids.
We want to.
Turn your back on your club.
We might be frustrated, and at the moment, we might say, F this, forget this, do that. At the end of the day, we all know that when that whistle goes off, the very next game will all be there. But But it's been a very tough pill to swallow.
A pillow too.
It felt like a pillow.
It felt like a pillow.
But it's been very rough, man. And we hope that this team snaps out of it. Very important game tomorrow.
Yeah.
Very, very important game tomorrow. But, you know, I can't be upset with people that are upset with this club right now. I mean, it's been nothing but hand jobs and kisses the whole year. And sometimes, bro, you have to criticize. And it's not because you're not content with the overall play and performance of the squad. But right now, things aren't going well. And like I said, sometimes even your children, when they're not doing very good things, you have to show them that you're not happy. You have to, you know, sometimes you come out and you come out with words of encouragement, right? To try to teach your children. But they get to a certain age where you're like, I'm for this. Words, you know what I mean? And I think that this club has gotten to the adulthood of our children. You know what I mean? They're no longer children where you try to massage their ego and teach them like I like to do with my own children, which is like, yes, as frustrating as it may be and as annoyed as I may be at times, I have to say woosah because small children, they have to learn. You have to educate them.
It's a coaching moment.
And screaming at them and you know, hollering and beating, that's not going to teach them anything. You have to coach them through. That's a good word.
Yeah.
To translate it back to sports.
It's a coaching moment for sure. And look, I think that, you know, in one loss, all right, two losses, UCL, Champions League, you know, big stage, okay, three losses.
No, but
especially this last one.
Whew. Alfredo, it's the way we talked. But look, before this last one, we talked about this on the last podcast, right? It's not just the loss, right? The loss.
It's the way.
It's the way that we play.
The way we lose.
On Friday, we saw Fisipe. We shit all over ourselves, right? And we didn't know what to do. Then in the game that we had high expectations, the team looked like a shell of itself. It was not the team we all anticipated. You know, the sad part is that every single club around the world, regardless of who they are, Manchester City, Manchester United, you name it, Real Madrid, Barcelona, all the giants in the world football, they all go through a stretch where everything seems very difficult. And it's about the good teams are able to overturn and they're able to eliminate those bad games and they're able to turn things around and turn a negative into a positive. And right now, Benfica just chose to play their worst hockey of the season. They're going through their tough moment at the worst possible time.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's about the way they play.
You got hockey on your mind there, Cristiano. You said hockey.
Did I?
That's because he's watching the game at the same time that he's talking.
Oh, it's a penalty. Somebody's getting a penalty now for the Devils. One of them breakaway penalties. But that's it, hockey. Whatever. The point is that, you know, the good teams turn things around. But Benfica has chosen to at the worst moment, at the worst opportunity, whatever, the worst time of the season to go through their worst little stretch of the season.
Yeah, and you got to think on whether, and this is something that I've been thinking of in terms of with the style that we play, with the high press, that very urgent way the team searches out to get the ball, to recover the ball in the opposition's third, does this now all of a sudden start weighing on the players towards the end of the season, where they're fatigued? Roger Schmidt today was asked about the vacation. He said that he felt that the players needed a vacation because they were tired, but the 10 to 12 international players didn't really get to rest because they were traveling with the national team. They were training.
And those are the only guys playing anyway.
And if you think about it, the guys that were in the national team you're talking about, João Mário, even though he didn't play much for Portugal, right? But you got Otamendi. You know, who else?
Antonio Silva.
Antonio Silva.
Odysseus. Odysseus.
Yeah, but you can't say that Odysseus is fatigued.
No, but you asked. You want to know the names of the players.
But I'm talking about guys that were out there training while the other guys were in Marrakesh.
Were they in Marrakesh?
Verissimo was.
But Verissimo never plays anyway. So he's not the problem. The problem is Rafa. The problem is João Mário. The problem is those guys.
Gonçalo Ramos was on the national team. Have you felt that Auschwitz has dropped a couple levels?
Auschwitz is not. Chiquinho, that dude, he should go on vacation. They should send him and keep him on vacation.
But yeah, I was thinking that maybe the team is showing some signs of fatigue for sure towards this end of the season, and especially at a time where it's extremely important that results are there to close this thing out. But this was something, I don't know if you guys remember, the first couple years of JJ, it was something that people always pointed a finger to JJ was the fact that JJ would work his teams to the bone. And by the end of the season, come February, March, you could see a decline in terms of the physical stamina of the team. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
I mean, I got something to say. I mean, you got 2 minutes left in this Rangers game. It's 5-1, so I think it's a wrap. So now
it's a wrap.
I think it's over. I could concentrate now on football. I mean, Alfredo, look, here's the thing.
Tell me.
We can sit here and we can pinpoint at things that we, throughout the year, have mentioned on the podcast. So it's not like we're not playing Monday morning quarterback and acting like, you know, kind of like what Benfica's done. You know, waited to complain about our rivals after they lost. Just sound like sore losers, right?
Oh, we've talking actually, about publicly.
And so, but we've actually done here. We did it before this happened, which there were warning signs. I remember a couple of weeks ago, I was here having an argument with you and talking about how the way that this club
it
was played,
an argument, but yeah,
it was a discussion.
You were emphatic about the point
that the team was not playing great football. Yes, we might have been getting results, but we're not playing good football. I complained about the lack of reinforcements. I remember you, I, Dave, you, I think all the guys, all the Freddies in the chat, thank you guys once again. And I want to go over a couple of the things that these guys are saying because I think it's important because we need to get these people more involved in our program, Alfredo, because they are a part of the family on the Benfica podcast. But we've also complained when Benfica's winning 5-0 in a Champions League, at Stade de Luz, and you got a Schaldrup and a Tengstedt who are yet to make their debuts. Throw these guys. Like, there's times that Roger Schmidt, and again, I'm not trying to be Mr. Negative, Ultra Negative. At the end of the day, let's not forget, after this weekend's disappointment, Benfica still holds a 4-point lead. Their destiny's still in their hand. If they handle their business, they will still pick up number 38, which we all hope they do. But we are pointing out some of the flaws that are really coming to fruition at this point that are coming back to bite us, which is the lack of depth on the bench, his lack of trust in players. He could have given these guys and developed some of these guys throughout the season. You got João Neves coming in the 92nd minute, it seemed like, for 10 consecutive games, right? He could have given a lot of these guys a little bit more minute, a couple more minutes in order for these guys to maybe be ready. I thought João Neves came into this game the other day. We'll get into this game in a minute. But I thought he came in, he handled himself well. There's just been different things, and now you talk about the team being fatigued. There's no reason for, you know, João Mário to play 90 minutes, for Arsenal to play João 90 minutes, Rafa and Gonçalo Ramos when the games are out of hand, out of reach at the time.
I agree.
And so I think if Roger Schmidt could go back, those would be some of the tweaks that he would handle a little bit different. Some of the tweaks he'd do to this roster, to his roster management. I think Benfica has really struggled to, you know, to really get through this rough stage. And yes, when guys are fatigued, they're not going to press. Roger Schmidt's system is a system that requires a ton of pressing all over the pitch. And due to the fact that these guys are not injured, but not 100% fatigued, you're not seeing the same type of pressure up and down the pitch. Rafa hasn't scored a goal in the Portuguese league since the first time around against Chaves, which means that's 17 rounds now. That's 17.
Yeah, he hasn't scored in a while. I don't know if
the last one. I'm telling you.
Is that really
the last one was a Stade de Luz against Chaves. Benfica just played Chaves in the second round. I mean, 17 rounds went through. That's 16th or 17th, whichever way you want to spin it. But it's still an astronomical number in the Portuguese league that this guy has not scored. And now is when Benfica needs their best players to step up. The cream needs to rise to the top. You need to bail out this team. And the guys are fatigued. They're not playing well. The pressure's getting to them. It's just a combination of a bunch of negative things that are all combining to really spell disaster for Benfica here later on. But
yeah, I wanted to mention a couple comments here. Nick Valadão, We need a spark from our player, from one player, to lift everyone up.
Yeah, I just said that. The best players need to step up.
Absolutely. Right now, everyone is just going through the motions.
Read Shiku's first question early on in the chat.
Shiku's first question. Am I the only one that feels that this will slip away
from us? The title will slip away from us.
Yeah, I don't think it will, but in typical Benfica fashion, we have to suffer until the end.
Not Benfica, it's Portuguese fashion, really.
Nah, but I don't care about. I was talking to you earlier. I called you earlier on my way home, and I said
one weekly phone call.
When was the last time that you remember that Benfica won the championship with six or more? I'm not going to say six because that's probably recent, but 8 or more points. That we were very relaxed. That we were able to clinch it a couple rounds before the championship finished.
Wow, the only way
was the last time.
Due to the fact it's been 3 years since we actually won a title, bro.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
That might be hard to remember.
I mean, my short-term memory.
You're right. But that must have been a while. Here's another one from Nick. I'm the context of going from 10 points to 4. It's not very uplifting. But if someone told me that we would be 4 points ahead in the league with 6 games left at the start of the season, I would take it.
Yeah. Again, Nick.
I would take it too. But considering...
Valid point. If you told me right now at this stage you're going to have a 4-point lead, I'd be ecstatic. But if you told me in a 2-week span you just drop 6 points, I'd tell you, F you. I'd be like, yep. I mean, the fact of the matter is that right now it's pointing downhill. It's all... And until this team shows us something otherwise, which, I mean, let's be frank, the last 3 performances have not been very good. And I know we have to have the faith in the whole nine. I mean, your confidence in their confidence. It's got to be shot at this point. So, yes, I would take the 4-point lead. But if you told me you got a 10-point lead and you drop 6 points in 2 games in the manner that you did. And again, as I mentioned last week, there's a difference losing a game 4-3 and you play great football. And, bro, things just didn't go your way. And then there's the other aspect of it, which you did jack crap. You did nothing. Right? And that's the way Benfica's played lately. We've created very few occasions, very lackadaisical, no urgency, bro. And it's like, man, the exigencia at Benfica needs to be there. You know, this mentality of, well, we lost the Inter, it's okay because what really matters the campeonato. No, stop, man. Big clubs, every game matters for a big club. I keep talking.
I wanted to mention this comment by Diogo Reis, and he might be up to something. I like to think that this is a dip in form is the Trojan horse to get Inter feeling like tomorrow is going to be a cakewalk, and boom.
No, Inter themselves, I think they dropped points at the weekend, right?
They did. They also lost 1-0.
I think there was only one team out of all the teams involved in European competitions that won their game. And I think it was, City?
City
was the only team. All the other ones, it either lost because they rested players.
Yeah, if it was 1-0. And again, we're going to talk about the shops because we're ready.
We're going to talk about the shops.
Tomorrow's game. I'm lost. We're all over
the place.
Ladies and gentlemen, tune into the Benfica podcast where we just jump around and you guys try to figure it all out, what the hell we're talking about.
We keep it interesting. You know, we keep it interesting. We go 2 steps forward and then 1 step back. You do the hokey pokey and you, whatever that goes. All right, let's talk about Chaves. If we must.
Abola Cadern says, be prepared for a miracle tomorrow.
Abola Cadern.
Yep. This guy's new. I've never seen this guy before. Manny Vlado, yep, last 3 games, you can tell.
Manny's here, so.
Manny, the brothers, the band's together.
The band.
The first 20 minutes, it was going to be a struggle. They were just going through the motion. Uh-huh. And then Abola Cadern, Benfica playing the way they played in the first half of Champions League could easily make a comeback. Epa, I mean, tú tienes más confianza.
Look, just getting back to the comment that Nick had mentioned in terms of if somebody had told him in the beginning of the season if we're up at 4 points on Porto with 6 games left, he would take it. Yes, but considering the way we've been playing and considering that up until the Porto game we had lost what?
One game.
We lost one game
in regulation.
And now in regulation, right? And now we've lost 3 in a row.
We went through Champions League without – we were 13 games unbeaten, I believe, in the Champions League.
Yeah, and we had also had tied Porto on some kind of a record. I forget what it was.
I think we passed it, but that's a good mention.
No, we didn't pass it. We matched it. We did not pass it. I forget what it was.
Dave, the stat man. What's that?
I think it might have been the – not allowing a goal at home or some shit
we
like
went,
that.
I think we went six games, the last six games on the road without allowing a goal.
That's what it was. It was something like
that. That's league. That's not Champions League. That's league.
No, it wasn't Champions League. Oh, okay. Champions League, there was a record of its own for a Portuguese team. I had not lost a game at home or for the Champions League in quite some time for Benfica, if I recall. Dave, I don't know if you got a chance to compile those stats, but we'll get into that.
Yeah, Dave, wake up, Dave, because I told you to talk, and I'm the one doing all the talking.
Wake up, Dave.
You should have talked when the Rangers were playing.
Like, all right, let's get into this Chaves game. Vlachodimir, Gilberto, Tony Silva, Otamendi, Grimaldo, Auschwitz, and Chiquinho. Of course, Tino serving a one-game suspension after accumulation of yellow cards. Neres on one side, João Mário on the other, Ramos behind Rafa behind Ramos. That's what it was. But look, it's one of those things, right, that after a poor performance, you can't wait for Benfica to play again because you want to see the team respond. So we lost against Porto. We go into the Inter game. Agora é que vai ser. Lose against Inter in a game that prior to the game, we're all saying how Inter is extremely accessible to us in terms of the form that they've had this season. Lose that game, and we go, agora é que vai ser, agora contra o Chaves é que vai ser. We go to Chaves.
Peraí. Who said agora é que vai ser contra o Chaves?
Digo eu, pá.
Oh, tá. Mas diz agora, mas não dizias antes.
Agora é que vai ser.
Because when we lost that game to Inter, after the performance against Porto, we're all like, ai, Jesus, por favor.
No, but you also gotta look at the Inter as being a different context of different competition, right? So not, I don't think you could compare a game against Inter with a game in the Tugão. I think it's very different context.
I think Benfica gave them more clear chances in the Tugão than the Champions League.
No, you know, I think like watching this game and you're clearly hoping that the team shows some kind of a sign, some kind of a response after two losses in a row, and really the team came out and it looked like they wanted to play, but they ran into a well-organized Chaves defending behind the ball, and it goes back to what we were saying last week, that the team doesn't have a B plan, that the team doesn't have a C or a D plan. And the thing is that, and I also mentioned this last week, that now teams know how to play, how to position themselves on the field to take out the players that are going to make a difference. So when you have that, and then on top of that, the players that make a difference that right now they may not have as much time and space to play, if they're not at their top, they're going to be nullified very easy by the opponents. And that's what Chaves did. Chaves just remained compact, frustrated Benfica. You also got to give credit to, you know, the coaching plan, but also their keeper. Their keeper came out huge.
Who, that
literally
from,
came out huge.
From Chaves?
Yeah.
That dude, he showed Vlachodimos the exact way that we want Vlachodimos to play, which is anything in your box, especially in the six, you catch. My man was not punching things out just for the sake of it and giving corners to Benfica and giving more danger possession to Benfica. He put on a clinic the other day. You know, I thought I was very impressed with his performances, to be honest.
Yeah, but it's just sometimes I think about Portuguese expressions and I can't make sense of them when I try to translate them. Like when they say Benfica foi deserto de ideias. You can't really, that doesn't really translate if you say Benfica was an idea desert.
It was. It was a desert of ideas.
Desert of ideas. There you go. Have you ever heard Michael Kay say that?
Pretty much. Bosta.
Bosta, caralho.
I mean, look, to be frank, Benfica did just enough.
enough.
Come away. They had a couple of in the first half. I think Antonio Silva had that one chance. Oof. I don't know what the hell he was trying to hit a pigeon. But we did. I think if Benfica came away with the victory with the 1-0 victory and the 3 points ultimately, I think they did just enough. But again, just enough is not going to cut it. Obviously, you can make a case here. Not a case. You can make the argument, a real good argument, that in that final Benfica attack, basically, that Otamendi gets called for stomping on the goalkeeper. I mean, he was stomping because he had nowhere to put his foot after getting stomped on his own shin. You can make that the case and an argument that that is a penalty. But again, we know, and again, you know, us here on the Benfica podcast and the Freddies and all the other beautiful Benfica podcasts around the world, we all come on these podcasts and we say it all the time over and over again, which is contra todos y contra todos, contra todos y contra todos. And we know that if there's going to be a play that is in doubt, that could go either way, we know it's not going to go in our favor. We know this. So we have to come into these games and we have to instead of giving it, and I hate that cliche, right? Oh, we're going to give it 120%. Like,
there's no such thing as 120%.
But you have to.
But there's no such thing as 120%.
But you have to. You have to. You have
100%?
125,000%. You have to, because we know we're not going to get any breaks. And Benfica didn't do enough to come out of there with the thing. The one aspect, and I'm jumping around here in the game, but the one thing that really pissed me off the most about this whole game, amongst a variety of other instances in this game, was in minute, I believe it was 88. Rafa's on a counterattack. João Pedro, Mr. MLS superstar himself, takes him down, grabs him or whatever it is, sees a yellow card. Benfica needs these 3 points. And there was no urgency.
Yeah.
It took them like a minute, not a minute, but like 45 seconds, 50 seconds to cross the ball into the box. They didn't even cross. I think they played it to the top of the box to João Neves, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. But it took them where's the damn urgency? We need to win these games. You can't settle. Well, in that attitude, Benfica needs to play with that urgency from minute one, Alfredo.
But I'm going to tell you this, Cristiano, I completely agree. I don't disagree with you, right? But I think that the message sometimes has to come from the outside in, right? And when the coach is seeing that the team is not producing, that they're not creating enough chances, that they're unable to get this past this Chaves team, and is not making the changes earlier, that is kind of sending a message to the team, right, that we're not doing anything about this. We're happy with the way things are, and we're not doing anything about this. So I can understand why there's no sense of urgency, because the message from the outside in, there's no sense of urgency coming from the outside to the field.
You're right, bro. You're right. But players need to think on their own as well, man. You can't just rely on the coaching. Players need to understand the moment.
I completely understand.
I mean, Roger Schmidt, if you really want to get down to it, Roger Schmidt, what he really liked the first half. He thought things were wonderful. He could have made changes at the halftime.
He could have.
Then he takes Neres, who's the one guy that's taken a few players one-on-one, leaves Rafa in the game. And then the one thing that's mind-boggling to me, guys, the one move in this game that left me really scratching my head, like, what the? Benfica needs a goal. We're on the road. We need a goal. We have 1.5 strikers, which is Gonzalo Ramos. The other two, they're there just to make the body count. We need a goal, and he takes out Gonzalo Ramos.
Yeah.
João Mario, I can understand. That's fine. I'm no problem. But you need a goal, you take out your one option, your one threatening option for a guy that's played a couple of minutes here and there in the Portuguese league, Tangostat, whatever his name was. And it's just, I didn't comprehend. Now, you want to tell me you were saving him for Wednesday? Okay, but you need to win this game.
Yeah,
and whatever, what the hell ever happened to that attitude that we saw a few weeks ago, Dave?
The next game is always the most important,
Dave. Before the Porto game, the most important game is the next game we're playing, right? Whatever happened to that?
Dave doesn't
know. I don't know, man. There's so much to pick at here at this game. Even if Gonzalo Ramos, because he hasn't looked 100% since the international break, so even if you want to say he's got an injury or, I don't know, if he's not 100%, so he takes him out. Even a non-100% Gonzalo Ramos can still act as a decoy. I know we don't necessarily play the best, or that's not our style to play with two strikers side by side, but at least he's your number one guy. And I agree, Tengstad, we really haven't really seen enough of him to make a final judgment on him. But you need the goal, and you take off your top goal scorer, and I don't know, Rafa is MIA since the international break. Not to get too ahead of ourselves, but I would really like to start seeing some sort of squad rotation. I know we really don't, our options are limited, but one or two here or there just to get something else, get another different type of look going, because this team just looks stale and flat.
Yeah, but Dave, how do you give guys minutes that you don't trust? Right now it's crunch time. You don't have the luxury of trying. It was when you're winning 3-1, 5-0, 4-1.
Yeah, and that falls on Roger then.
But that's what I'm saying. You're not going to give these guys minutes now. You know what I mean? Like right now, this is what I'm referring to in this game against Shops. It's balls to the wall. You need to do everything you can to win this game. And if it's, you know, a handball, the hand of God, you got to do what you got to do to get the ball in the back of the net. And it just, you're not going to give these guys a chance. You're not going to tell them in these crunch time minutes, like, oh, go ahead, go get the rust off. Get adapted to Portuguese football now. You know, I haven't trusted you all year, but now all of a sudden, let's go. You know what I mean, Dave? Like, I understand what you're saying, Dave. You're 100% correct, but fact is that Rodgers' moves or lack...
We lost that luxury.
I'm sorry?
We lost that luxury to be able to do that, right? If we were still 10 points up with six
yes,
100%. Games to go...
But dude, even with games where we're leading 3-0, 4-0,
that falls on Roger.
Right.
And I think from what I remember reading, even at the beginning of the season, that was his one downfall, was his stubbornness in not necessarily adapting or changing his players, Roger Schmidt, which I hope it doesn't come back to bite us in the ass here, but these last three games have certainly seen like the team is tired and just flat. So,
but it's also been from in terms of what Cristiano is mentioned, right? He puts in guys that have had no minutes. Whose fault that is it that they have had no minutes? He could have been given them minutes in games where they have been solved.
I'll take it a step further. I asked it before. Whose fault is it that the players are fatigued?
His.
Because he could have given it. And again, those two things tie in together. Whose fault is that these guys don't have minutes? Whose fault is that these guys are fatigued? Well,
right.
If you give those guys more minutes, maybe these guys wouldn't be as fatigued. It's both.
And at this point, I mean, I can't help but, you know, Schmidt is still my coach, right? But I can't help to think that signing, his renewal, was premature. And I spoke about this last week, and I said, let him win the championship and then come to the table and sit down.
Man, see, look again, you're right. Ultimately, at the end of the day, you're right. And anyone who has that same thought process is 100% correct. What was the rush? Right. But, you know me, I could be as pessimistic as they come. Okay? But, I mean, really? Do you think he changed? I'm asking. I'm not calling you dumb. I'm asking an honest question. Because you've mentioned, I think I mentioned it, there's a million people that mentioned the same exact point you just made. What was the rush? But I'm asking a question.
What's your question?
Did the renewal change his approach? Changes? I don't think it, do you get what I'm saying? Did it change his management?
I don't think it did.
I don't think
it did. It's a huge coincidence, and I think that people will pick on that as an argument point.
Fine.
I don't want to go here, but is it the same cancer trying to make the bed? Did it wrong some of the players the wrong way? We've seen it before with these
guys.
They're still there. They are still there.
They just came in with the poison pill. Dave, don't do that.
He just came in fucking studs first.
How many coaches? If this is another year where we blow the title, we're not going to fire Roger. Like, what? We just extended him. There's got to be a cleanup in that locker room. And I know some players have come and gone, like Pete C and Almeida, but I think there's still Rafa is still there. Grimaldo is on his way out. Hopefully, he's gone. But this has to fall on the players. This This has to fall on the players.
When I say you came in with the poison pill, it's kind of like a compliment. Like, man, you came in with this whole new aspect of it. Like, bro, I don't even want to entertain it. I'm not calling you dumb. I'm not saying you're wrong. You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm not taking your credit away. It's just like, Dave, please, man. I don't even want to entertain that, Dave. Please, bro. You're like, oh, my. That was just a slap
maybe
of reality.
Some players are, they see Rodgers' new contract. They see what he got paid. Hey, maybe that money should be going to me. I'm the one that's scoring goals. I'm the one that's creating the goals. Why is the coach getting that money?
I don't.
Just throwing it out there.
Dave, yeah, that's. I think that's a little bit far-fetched, but I see where you're coming from.
Dave is either going to look like a genius or
players
we'll
are jealous
play
from
the
coach getting a renewal.
And see how that goes.
Yeah, look.
Hopefully
I'm
wrong, but
yeah, Dave.
You never know with these guys.
I hope you're wrong, Dave.
we're seeing some things that I got to be honest that I'm not liking. I'm not liking, and you can't have this pattern of not touching the team until the 70th minute, regardless of what arguments you may have. The team is playing well, blah, 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 blah. But the point is, regardless of whether you're winning or whether you're losing, you should be using your bench to either change something that's going on in the game or to prepare guys for what's coming, for their opportunity.
You have a question from Bruno Teixeira, Alfred. And I want to, because he referenced it twice. So it says, question, do you guys also feel Tino's back hasn't been covered good enough since Enzo left? If Tino's first pressure fails, his back is always open and it's an open highway. And then he adds to it, he goes, I feel the center back should shorten the pressure line to kill any play in case Tino misses the tackle. Alfredo Fumasas, what do you guys think of the please CD? Well, I'll just say real quick. I understand what you mean about shortening the field, but let's be honest, okay? Otamendi and Antonio Silva aren't the fastest, so that kind of limits what they can do.
And Blakodimus can't play sweeper keeper,
so he doesn't play a high line himself. Right. So it's you know, it really limits what you could do. And the other thing is, we've had a successful season up until this point. Guys have played really well. Backups two, three options everywhere beside the field, except one place. There's one position on this team that is one man alone, and you don't have a like-for-like. You don't have even a replacement, which is center defense center mid. You don't have every – like, once you take Tino out, who is your other ball recover?
The argument for Grimaldo.
Oh, a player in the same situation.
Well, I don't know.
Ristich might as well be on the beach.
Yeah,
Ristich, but hold on. Grimaldo up until, you know me, I'm no Grimaldo fan, right? But up until these couple of games, did you need a reason to? Did you have a reason to take Grimaldo out in any game?
You didn't have anybody to replace him
with. True.
No, but I'm saying, but the guy was playing well. Where Tino's had some, he's had some phenomenal games, and he's had some stinkers where he subbed off at halftime. You know what I mean? And, like, who do you replace him with? You don't have a destroyer. You don't have a guy that's going to recover. You don't have a guy that's going to
know,
get balls back.
In terms of like for like, the player, same characteristic.
Grimaldo, you didn't have to take him out. But you might be right, Dave. But
no,
there's no reason to take him out.
I think that's a fair point. I think that's a fair point. But let me also just say that there was a huge chemistry that was built between Tino and Enzo, right? And I think they complemented themselves very well. For one, because Enzo also has the engine to be able to recover, to be able to cut distances within the field, to be able to get into passing lanes. Even he's an extremely good tackler, right? So I think that those kind of bode well in terms of Tino could be more positional, Enzo could be more. What do you say? More mobile? There you go. Mobile. But at the same time, the other thing that Enzo also offers is that on the defensive side of the ball, he's just as good as he is going
forward. He's aggressive.
Forward.
He can defend. But you know, I hear this often. Tino can play. But bro, the fact of the matter is that just like 10s, the old school number 10s are being pushed out of football, nowadays, it don't matter what position you play in the midfield. If you can't pick out a pass, no matter how good you are, the days of Fezzer, those days are done. And Tino is one of the last guys that's surviving in that mode. But the reason why we got to play Chiquinho and we don't play Arsenas in the middle instead is because of Tino's limitations with the ball at his feet. He's shown some improvements, but he doesn't have that in his game.
Right.
That's the one.
That's not his. That's not him.
Let's be frank. That's why he's still at Benfica. If he had it in him, he would have been gone already. He wouldn't have gone on loans throughout European football and came back. Somebody would have swooped him up by now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's very limited in that aspect, and he needs to develop that type of his game. But in terms of recovering balls and defending, oh, he's tremendous.
I thought that Enzo was great, and one of the things that Enzo has.
Enzo was a facilitator, bro.
Yeah, it was moving the ball. It was understanding where the next pass was even before he got the ball. It was the cross-field passes that weren't balls that hung, right? They were driven.
They were Chiquinho balls, lobbing.
Yeah, they were driven so that you don't give the opportunity to a defender to adjust to the ball's flight and landing.
I know my idol, Rui Costa, his nickname was the Maestro. The Maestro is the guy in front of the band. That's the Maestro, right?
Yeah.
Well, Enzo was Benfica's Maestro.
Yeah. I agree. I completely agree. And I think that Benfica lost a lot of that unpredictability of attacking the weak side when there's pressure where the ball is. And when you get the ball to Enzo, the switches that he did to the weak side to find mismatches, whether it was on the left, whether it was on the right, whether it was Grimaldo, whether it was Ba, those were critical for Benfica because we always had a mismatch on the weak side, and then once the defense is adjusting, Benfica can now adjust the different passing lanes, and then we were able to get away from any defensive schemes that were set up because we were always on the go. The ball was always moving. The ball was always rolling from one side to the other, and Benfica doesn't have that currently.
It takes too long.
It does take too long.
It takes too long.
Chiquinho has gotten a lot better, but it's still taking a long time. He can't drive a pass, a long-range pass, and he still misses a lot of passes, and he has turnovers that he leaves the team in a bad position. But you guys know how we feel, well, both Cristiano and I feel about Chiquinho, and Cristiano says that we can't possibly compete in Europe if Chiquinho is going to be our center mid.
I said that.
You said that years ago.
In December, January, whatever.
Last year you said it.
I said it when it was, I think, right before the transfer window. Right? I think it was right before the transfer window.
The day of that it closed and we didn't replace Enzo.
Yeah. No, but I think I said before.
It was even before.
I said before, Dave, because I said you want to strengthen. You don't want to be stuck there without having options.
Right. Heard the clip.
The drum I like to beat was... Was Chiquinho and Diogo Gonçalves?
Yeah.
Nah, Gildy is my neighbor, bro. Leave my neighbor alone, bro. My neighbor alone. You don't criticize my neighbor on this podcast. Real quick, Nick Valadon says that, Dave, it's a great point. Fair point, which you said. Abuela Caderno said he's got a point. Rafa and Grimaldo are a bunch of prima donnas. You know, my boy Sneaker shouts, what's up, Sneaker? Welcome. That's my dude. He says the next couple of games are going to be are going to have me with high blood pressure. He says, I saw a stat about all the first place teams in the top five leagues struggling since international break, only winning one hour of the last 3 to 4 games. Sounds like a struggle that goes beyond Benfica.
Yeah.
Mentioned that before.
And it's a struggle, it's real.
But the key thing that Sneaker Shouts said was top five leagues. The Tugon is not
it's not in the top five. Let's not get that twisted.
We're seventh now.
Yeah,
we've fallen
right.
Behind the Eredivisie. We're seventh.
They
now.
Passed us. But look, I think that when you look at this team, and especially in the Chaves game, you could see that the team doesn't have an answer for what's happening. They're not reacting to everything that's happening, everything that's been put in front of them in terms of how Chaves is defending, how they're able to block our guys, how they're able to close passing lanes, how they're able to, anytime we try to do those combinations in front of the box, and for the love of the Lord, why don't we shoot the ball more often? when guys are just defending in front of the box.
Bro, this team hit a little bit of struggle, a little bit of adversity, and they can't deal
they
with
can't
it.
They can't respond.
Yeah, because they need pats on the back and hand jobs. That's the only way that they can perform.
They can't respond.
All of a sudden, they see Laporta in front of them, and they shit their pants. And ever since then, it's like, oh, my God, now we got adversity. We can't handle it. You know, like, and it shows that, yo, you're not a big game player. And again, Benfica's the last time, and hopefully we're sitting here in, what, May was the last game, May 20-something, whatever it is, and celebrating the title. Well, hopefully before that, celebrating the title in the whole nine. But right now, it's just not a very good look on these players. They need to step up. And this coach, the players, the leaders, the Rafas of the world that have been at this club for years, the Grimaldos of the world, these guys need to gather the boys and tell them, look, we need to find a way. We need to pull through. We need to get back on a winning track, on a winning side of things, because this thing is spiraling out of control, and it's bad.
One more thing that I wanted to mention before we go, and I don't know how many of you guys have actually noticed, this was something that was highly publicized or highly tweeted on social media, was that after the game, the team went to where Benfica fans were, to that stand, to applaud them being there and to thank them for their support. And apparently, and rightfully so, they heard some words that they didn't like. They heard some boos from the fans. And then you saw Grimaldo telling the players, let's go into the locker room. And Verissimo also.
Hey Dave, as much as I heard Murata was in on that as well, as much as I want to, like, kill him for that and really get on him for that, which I think that's despicable. I really do, because some of these fans travel thousands and thousands on the $50 that they got for the month, Bukmir, and they choose a soccer game.
Yep.
But if you spin, again, I'm never going to speak to him about this, not anytime soon at least, but if he was to spin it, if somebody at Benfica or Grimaldo or Verissimo, Murata, if these guys were to spin it and, look, we're going through a very tough team. We have some youngsters on this team, right? And right now, the criticism, even though it's warranted, it's not going to do us any good. All it's going to do is shatter our confidence even more. So we wanted to shield the players from that. And if you told me that...
That's BS. Nah.
You can make that argument, right? Dave, but
as we've been talking here for the last hour, this team's confidence is shattered, right? And so if you told me...
shattered, but it was shattered before... 1,000 fans in Shavj gave them a piece of their mind. It's already shattered.
Yeah, it was shattered at home against Porto. But
yeah,
I think Shavj was really like, it's kind of like the slap on the face. Wake the yo, my man. You know what I mean, Dave? Wake up.
Yeah, and it's you know, and going along with that, you know, Roger Schmidt said in a post game press conference saying that the players deserve a little bit more recognition. Look, I get that. As a coach, you're trying to protect the team. You're trying to take all the bullets yourself. But I think that understanding the sacrifices that fans make, and if there's something that hasn't been missing this year or any other year, has been the support. Benfica travels well. All the away games are well attended. There's guys that go and risk losing their shirt because they're wearing a Benfica shirt in an away stadium. There's people that make a lot of sacrifices to go and support this team, right? And I think that you have, as a team, you have to recognize that. And I know that hearing boos and hearing go F yourself and joga bola, and it hurts because, you know the sacrifices that you, as a player, you have done also for this team.
I think you're 100% correct about everything you just said, but ignoring, forgetting all that, just discarding all that, since when the hell are these players all of a sudden above criticism?
Oh, yeah.
We can't criticize.
Completely agree.
I mean, forget the fact that I traveled 3,000 miles. Do I need to travel? I could have been next door.
Right.
The fact is that if you don't perform, bro, just like if you don't perform at work, Dave don't perform, I don't perform at work, our bosses are going to get on us. Now, we don't have thousands of people watching us, but if we don't perform up to the level that we're expected to perform, they're going to dismiss us. They're going to get rid of us. So now you're a bunch of wankers, pampered, that I can't voice my displeasure with the way you perform over the last couple of weeks? Man, hold on.
Well, here's the other thing also that kind of ties into that, is that the club goes so much out of their way to protect this team and to create a huge
bubble,
a huge bubble, and a huge distance between the players and the fans, to the point that the players feel that they're above any criticism because they live in the bubble that the club has created for them.
Listen, in the United States,
which goes back to my point that there might be some tension about
Dave. Stop
playing.
Dave, don't even put that thought out.
This falls on the players again.
Dave, don't even put it out. I don't want them to listen to the podcast and get an idea. Stop, Dave. Don't even play. But now there's this great
thing. If they have an issue, send it my way. They don't have to send it your
well,
way.
Well, Dave, there's this great thing in American sports, right? You pay for a ticket, you're entitled to voice your displeasure.
Yeah, let me say something here that was kind of going to lead me to the next point, right? Jason Gaidola. Sorry, I can't read because his letters are too small. Is it Gaidola? Jason Gaidola. In a time of crisis, do our leaders have the ability to pull out of this?
And that's, I mentioned, the Rafa, the Grimaldos, the guys that have been there for the years. Thing, they need to pull these guys out.
Here's the other thing. We lose this game against Chaves. The fans are yelling at you. Who are they sent to the press conference or to the flash interview? Not a captain.
Do you think I watched it?
Not a captain.
I turned that.
Who did they send out?
Gedge.
The one that just got back from injury and has nothing to do with this issue.
Right. Or a player that's still in the fans' good graces. That
maybe the other guys were getting massages because they're fatigued.
They're getting massages. The thing is that in times like these, captains, Otamendi,
Don Ocara,
João Mário,
Luizão used to do it.
Grimaldo is also one of the captains. Let those guys give face.
Why?
Show face.
Here's another thing. Again, you keep bringing up a bunch of good points.
Thanks, Cristiano.
But you know me. I always come up with weird stuff. Why is everybody so surprised that Grimaldo's all of a sudden shitting on the fans when he shit on the club last year?
Not only last year, but he's gone.
Right? He's gone.
He's got a track record, Grimaldo.
People forgot all of a sudden.
And I think that Grimaldo is putting himself in a position where he'll be persona non grata once he leaves the club.
I don't know about persona non grata, but just go out silently.
I think he will. Number one, there's going to be the issue that he's not going to renew with us, right? He's had offers. He's going to go away.
As long as he doesn't pull a Moxie, I think he'll be all
right. Right. But number two, last year at the end of the season, we had that fiasco that he didn't want to play, that he didn't even want to be convocado. The year before that, it's always been things. Grimaldo has had run-ins with the fan base several times. And I think he's setting himself up to go out Benfica and people not really missing him.
Well, I told you a couple weeks ago, we could do better.
We could do better. But I'm
Benfiquistas are the ones that are fault for this, because anybody that shows up, you show up in a Benfica game and you make a little FIFA, and the Benfica's in the stadium, they put you on a pedestal and they pay pictures.
Completely
of
understand.
Bro, and now, like.
But completely understand. But for a player that's been at the club for 8 years, you would hope that a guy like that goes out and people thank him for his service and appreciate what he's done for this club. And he's been involved in quite a few titles. But the attitude that he's displayed, especially as a captain, is not really something that fans are going to be too happy with. And that's why I'm thinking that when he leaves, he won't be missed.
And the minute they sign some João Torto over there to play
João
left
Torto.
Back, they'll forget all about him.
With him gone, the club will be forced to actually spend some money in that position. No, who knows? Maybe they weren't spending money and getting these loan guys just to massage Grimaldo's ego, because heaven forbid he has any competition there and he's putting up a fuss there too. So maybe it's the best of both worlds. You get rid of him and you start investing in that position again.
Yeah, look, I think let's move on. Dave, you got stats so we could move on from this?
Let's spend wrap
way
this
too
up.
Much
anyway,
time.
We ended up losing the game.
Yeah, we lost 1-0. Just in case you didn't read.
Flaco Dimas made a save out of it.
Sorry for spoiling that.
Flaco Dimas might have made his biggest save in Benfica uniform.
No, I've seen him make I've seen him make saves like that before.
Well, we thought it was big, but then they lost anyway, so
good for nothing.
So never mind. Yeah.
Good for nothing. And look, as Cristiano mentioned, and Dave, sorry, I'll let you go as soon as I finish this. As Cristiano mentioned, clear penalty, And as Xian also mentioned, any decisions that are like 50-50, the possession arrow is always going to tilt the other way. Dave, go ahead.
Third consecutive defeat for Benfica. First time since the 2018-2019 season that that's happened to us, where we lost to Ajax, Bissad, and Moriens. Fourth time that Xavi has beaten Benfica. The first time since the 96-97 season. I don't know how you want to twist this, if it's a positive or it's a negative stat, but Benfica finished the game with 19 corners, which was a season high for the Portuguese league, but they had nothing to show for it. So 19 corners and none really that ever really showed any real chances of a goal.
I think in the first half, that one wasn't the one that I mentioned, Antonio Silva, where
Antonio Silva one?
That was like a broken corner. It was like a corner kick, ball kind of like bounced around. I think that was off a corner, Dave.
Yeah, lots of corners, yeah. But Benfica just couldn't score with that many corners.
No goals.
Hey, but I'm pretty sure if it was on BTV, they'd be celebrating yeah. The corner league.
The highest corner number in 3 years.
Amazing.
But anyway, it wasn't because of the penalty that we lost the game. Benfica should have done a lot more. Sure, the penalty would have helped. It needs to be called. Even if João Pinheiro didn't see it, the VAR has got angles. He's got zooms. He's got slow motion replays that he could call on that. There was a hold from the keeper and a studs up challenge from Mr. MLS himself, João Pedro.
Was it him?
On Otamendi.
I don't know who it was from.
It was going to be a second yellow card.
It would have been a second, too. But at that point.
Yeah. Somebody is saying, and I forget who it was, that we have a Spanish ref. But apparently that Spanish ref didn't do too well in the game that he had. It was
over the weekend?
A Sevilla game, yeah.
Yeah, he's in hot water in Spain. Apparently.
Look, at the end of the look, here's the way that I'll spin this game, and I'll start with that, and we'll get into the game
and we'll close it up.
Here's the way I'll spin tomorrow. Does UEFA try to prevent
two Italian teams,
a Milan derby,
della Madonnina?
Does UEFA try to prevent that? Because one thing is domestic competition. Another thing is international competition, where the stakes are a lot higher. And this is for a place in a final. You got they don't have to travel, basically.
They don't have no respect for Portuguese teams. They could care less.
You don't think UEFA?
If it's up to them, they'd rather. I mean, that the way that the game was ref the first game at Stade de Luz showed you that they have no interest in a Portuguese team.
Yeah, but now that Milan is on the has clinched the other semifinal, does that UEFA now try to avoid having two Milan teams play together because of possible confrontations between their fan base?
They'll deal with that. Ebola Cadero's mentioned the last time we, Benfica, played at Inter in Giuseppe Meazza, we scored 3 goals. The last time quarterfinal Champions League game we played away, we scored 3 goals. Tomorrow we're going to score 3 and win 3-1 and win in penalties. Now, here's the thing. He's absolutely correct. We scored 3 goals in 2004, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was 2004 at Giuseppe Meazza. I can see. But the problem is we gave up 4.
Yeah, you're right.
So we drew 0-0 at home.
Yeah, 0-0.
And we lost. And then we scored 3. It's phenomenal. We scored 3.
2 goals from Nun Gomes, if I'm not mistaken. I think we mentioned that last podcast that we did.
Did we? Je ne sais pas.
Yeah. But yeah, so look, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But I think, I don't know how many of you are getting that feeling like I was saying before. Agora que. I would like to think that I would gladly accept the last 3 defeats if Benfica shows up tomorrow and absolutely wipes the field with Inter.
I have no confidence, but I mean, the thing is that this Inter team is nothing special.
But defensively, they're there to be had.
That was going to be my point there.
Yeah, Dave.
That this Inter team has not shown up, at least the second half of the season. They're struggling. But
yeah, apparently they had some infighting.
What we know about Italian teams is they are very structure oriented.
Yeah.
They're going to know how to defend. They've already got the two goals. They don't need another goal. So they'll park the bus.
Agreed.
And it's going to be very, very difficult for us to break down this this Inter side. If we were playing at our top form, it would already be difficult. But us already struggling to score goals and even create chances these last couple of games, I'm very, very skeptical. But hey, if you're in Portugal, go to Fatima for me. Go light a candle. Go say some, do the rosaries, because we need all the help we can get.
Agreed, Dave. Agreed. I forgot what I was going to say. I think that I read today there was some infighting at practice with Inter.
Yes, captain. The team
things
captain,
are not going well over there. But when you playing,
they're not going well for us neither.
but they haven't gone well all season for them. But when you play in the Champions League, players have they have a extra motivation to play, to be in international stage, to play in the biggest competition for clubs. You know, it's always something different. They find a way. They find a way. There's bonuses attached to it. I think that Inter may even look for this competition, and I'm not saying that they're going to, or they're the favorites to win it all, but certainly an appearance in the final would be something that would be a feather in their cap for this season, since they haven't done all that great. And they're title holders in Italy, right?
No,
who's
Milan?
Milan, who won the title last year?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
What's the matter?
What about the year before? Was it Inter?
No.
Yeah.
Was it? No, it wasn't, Dave.
Yeah, it's gone. Milan, Inter, and then Juve.
Inter won it the year before.
Oh, if you're going backwards.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think. I thought Inter's been going through a little slow.
I thought that meant.
All I know
Inter
is that my Milano won, and I would love to see a Benfica Milan revenge of the 1991 Champions League final.
Yeah.
And as much as I love Milan, you know Benfica is my love.
So what do we see tomorrow, Chris? What are you expecting tomorrow? Really, what's inside your head? Let it out. Dave, get ready. I'll ask you too.
No, I don't know, man. I don't know. Honest to God, I think Benfica has to go and get a result.
Without a doubt.
They have to go get a result. I don't know who he's going to play. I think I could answer your question a little bit better in terms of what I would do, not about what I'd expect.
What would you do?
I don't know what to expect, to be brutally honest with you. But tomorrow, I'd play, because I've criticized here on the podcast having Arsenis and João Mário on the wings. I thought that was a waste, especially in a game like this where you need pace, you need creativity. I'd play Guedes on one side, Neres on the other side. You want to keep Rafa in the middle, that's fine, but...
I would sit Rafa.
I would sit Rafa, too.
Fine. Then play João Mário in the middle.
No, I play João Mário on the right.
No, what about Neres?
Neres and Guedes up front, along with Ramos.
No.
Let him carousel.
No, I still stick with the same 4... Either that or switch to 4-3-3, but I'd stick with the 4-2-3, 4-2-3-1. I'd play Arsenis, Florentino together in the middle. Guedes, João Mário, Neres on the right, and Gonçalo Ramos up top. That's what I would do.
Yeah,
I would honestly do that.
Neres has the play for me.
Or tomorrow, if you really want to throw this thing upside down, you play a 3-4-3 and call it a day. You bring in Morato to play alongside.
Well, we never played 3-4-3 all season.
But it seems apparently teams in Italy use that a lot, and Inter struggled against those formations.
So it would surprise me so much.
And again, Grimaldo is a liability defending anyway. Gilberto is a liability defending anyway. So why not? I mean, what do you got to lose? And at least you bring someone into the middle of the field that's got pace.
It's Morato. It's not a bad shout.
And then you let Grimaldo just go ahead, do the wing, and do what he has to do. You put João Mário on the right. Dino and Arsenis in the middle. And then you could go up top with Neres. Gonçalo Ramos and then Guedes.
Yeah, I think about that.
That's what I'm saying. You need to get goals tomorrow. You can't sit there. You need to get an early goal, first of all.
Yeah, I'm sitting Rafa tomorrow. Yeah. If it was me, I'm sitting Rafa.
Yeah, that's fine. Rafa off the bench.
It's a good shout with the three, especially if the three in the back, especially if Inter has struggled this year with that. I think it's a good shout. I just don't think that the team has practiced that enough to be able to be comfortable with it in a game of such importance.
Well, I think we have to change things.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah, but I think that's where Roger is stubborn, and he won't
exactly,
change.
Exactly, Dave.
Look, you guys criticized. Exactly. You guys laughed at me last week when I mentioned if you had to play somebody at right back over Gilberto, would it be? And I mentioned Verissimo. You guys thought I was great. But at the end of the day, you're going to go back with Gilberto. You're going to go back with Grimaldo, who's terrible defending. You might as well just play him outside and let him do the corridor and just go ahead, attack. Don't worry about defending.
Because
Inter's going to – I don't think Inter is going to try to come out and play tomorrow. I think Inter's just going to sit back and counter.
I agree. Yeah, I agree with Manny. Many say it may change their whole chemistry, and I agree.
What chemistry?
But I'm talking about in terms of the system, the game idea, where players move, because the players work very well, and as you're watching this team, you see how players move to get balls, to support, to make sure that we have guys around the ball. And I think that when you introduce the three center back setup, and although I think it's a good shout, I think that you alter a lot of those routines that the team has built.
No, you still
have
four defenders, because what you're doing is you drop Florentino back, and then you have four defenders.
But the positioning is different.
But you're not going to be defending, because it seems it's
going to.
You're going to be defending 3-on-1, 3-on-2.
But you're not going to drop Tino back if you're playing with three center backs.
But you could, though, on the defensive side. Then you got four guys always back there. That's what I'm.
Why would you do that?
Because at least you fortify if you need be.
On the build-up?
No, not on the build-up, man. On the defending side of things.
But why
would
you bring Tino back in through a fourth line when you could drop by and
what I'm saying, if you need to defend in the game at some point, you're always going to have guys back there, because Tino's not going to advance up the field as much as a Grimaldo.
I understand.
Do you get what I'm saying?
I understand
he's
now.
He's not going to advance as much as whoever is going to play on the right. Therefore, you're always going to kind of have – you're going to have three guys back there at all times, bro, defend counterattacks. And then you send everybody forward.
I
don't think it's bad.
I understand. I just don't think the team has too many
Plus, I tried routines. That in Championship Manager, and it worked out.
It worked out fine? look, I don't know how I'm feeling. I think that my thing is that we've seen what the team is capable of doing this season, right? They're capable of going toe-to-toe, eye-to-eye with any team in Europe. My feeling. At the height of their form. I'm not talking about current form. We did it with PSG, even though that PSG doesn't really defend all that well. The guys up front that don't track. We did it against Juventus. I thought we had good games. We had good games in Europe, and I think that when the team is playing well, they're inspired, they're flowing, they're moving, they're not turning the ball over, and they're accurate with their passes, I think that the team can compete with any team in Europe. Now, we don't know what Benfica team will have. We don't know how much gas is left in the tank.
I wish those players tomorrow, they were as confident as Alfredo.
I have to be confident. I think that Benfica is going to turn it around. Dave.
I want to be confident. I want to believe in this love story that this team is going. But my heart is telling me we win 3-0. But my brain with these last three games is telling
me. My body.
Even if we come away with a 1-0 victory, it still falls short, right? And it's going to be very hard to break down this Italian. When you think of Italian soccer, it's always defensive structure comes top of mind. So they come into this match with a 2-goal advantage. Even if we get one,
we got to get one early
to have any one early to have any chance. If this is in the 60th minute and we're still looking for goals, it's going to be a struggle, but
Dave, I think that if we tie the game and we take it to overtime, I'm feeling very confident, because Roger Schmidt only does substitutions after the 80th, 90th minute. So we should be good for the overtime with the right subs. We just
Who's
have
he gonna
to
trust.
We just
he
have
to
make
to come off the bench.
Musa.
Oh my God.
I'm done, man. I'm done.
You're done with Comedy Central?
I'm done with Comedy Central. I'm done with look, I think that we have to be optimistic just because of what the team has showed us this year. And that's where that's coming from. I'd like to think that this could be a catalyst for the rest of the season. If we get a good result and the team gets back on the positive confidence, I think that this could be a great game to to change our direction and build our momentum.
We need a good performance tomorrow.
We do.
I mean, obviously, you all want to win. But win or lose, we need a good performance.
A fourth
because this
defeat in a row. A fourth defeat in a row.
I don't think Benfica is losing tomorrow.
I don't think we are either.
I don't think we're losing
tomorrow. And I think that if not the stars, but I think if things line up right, if we score an early goal, we continue to play well, we continue to attack Milan or Inter.
Inter
is also compact in the back and defending. They're not coming out. I think that we have the ability to take it to them. But we can't have Antonio Silva miss sitters. We can't have Gonçalo Ramos miss sitters.
We can't have any of the guys
miss sitters because you're not going to have four, five, six, seven chances to score in a game like this, because those are going to be very very few. But the ones you're going to create, you need to put away. This is the competition that if you don't put away, que no mata morre.
Que no marca sofre.
Always. I took it a little bit more to the extreme, but let's read some of this some of these comments here. Jason is saying, gets two goals tomorrow. Abola Cadence, 12 years ago to the date we lost to Football Club. Epa. You have to remind us, Football Club Porto 3-1 after winning 2-0 away in the Taça. Tomorrow we will do the reverse of that. From your mouth to God's ears, my friend. Let's see who else is here.
Especially because what did we say when this draw took place? Or even before the draw took place, a team we wanted to all avoid was Napoli. And now Milan's
kind of done the
dirty work.
I didn't say that.
I'll say that.
Nick
because
Villa...
Napoli, they were definitely on a lot of teams' radar as teams to avoid. But Milan's done the work for us now, too. And I mean, it's there. I just wish we weren't playing our worst football here at this stretch of the season, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Speaking of it is what it is, we were playing his old team this weekend here too.
Yeah.
Studio.
Nick Villadon said, if we get one in the first 10, 15 minutes, I bet anything that you will see the team back to their old selves. I think that, yes, that early goal will inspire the team. Reigning Entertainment saying, Cristiano convinced me that Bella Gutman sprinkled his fairy dust all over this.
Get on the Reigning Entertainment.
Yeah, Manny saying one early Benfica goal, and who knows. Yeah, no, I agree. I think that the key thing is going to be scoring that early goal. That's going to be key. Because if we score that early goal, we don't have so much the clock against ourselves. I think the longer the game goes without us scoring a goal, the more anxious and nervous the team will become. And considering the past three games that we've had in terms of how the team has been able to respond to these games or in these games, I just think that with a clock going against us and not getting that first goal, I think it's going to be very hard for the team to do something against this Inter team.
Yeah, but you have to be careful, though. You don't want to go balls to the wall and try to get that early goal and then get caught with your pants down. You need to...
Yeah, but that's always been one of Schmidt's MOs, has been, my team is going to allow goals, but my team is also going to score a lot of goals.
That's
always been his thing throughout his career.
The last two games.
The last two games, you're right.
We scored two goals in the last five games.
Yeah.
Four games.
Yeah, one against Porto.
And one against, who the hell did we play before? Rio Ave, yeah, that's the team.
Yep. All right.
Well, thank you to all the Freddies.
No, we're not done yet.
We're not done yet.
Next up, Sturil.
Okay, I'm done. I got a headache.
Sturil, and here's a look. I think these Benfica, out of both Benfica and Porto, Benfica has the hardest games. And I think that, you know, we need to get right back on target against this Sturil team. I don't know what kind of mental.
At the side of the loose?
Yeah.
I think a lot of it's going to have to do, a lot of it's going to be due, you know, to tomorrow's result.
Yeah, I was just about to say, crowd. I don't know what kind of mental scars or
the
boost.
Crowd, the reception, the crowd, a lot of it's going to do, the crowd is going to dictate a lot of it. Because if you get another bad performance, things might get ugly at the Stade de Luz. Or do you think the fans come in and support regardless?
I think you kind of have to reset and think, all right, well, Champions League is gone. Let's make sure that we push this team to finish out the year and win this championship. I don't think the fans will abandon the team. I just think that they say, well, you know, we came far enough in the Champions League. It was never in the cards for us to go this far. Too bad that we lost. Now let's refocus on the Tugão because there's a championship to win. And we have gone from 10 points to 4 points lead in a matter of 2 weeks. So we need to right the ship and we need to get on the right path again and finish out the game strong, finish out the season strong, because we still got a game against Braga, Estoril Luz, and we still got to go to Alvalade. Not easy games. Braga has been very consistent. Sporting has been a bit of a chameleon this year. So you never know what you're going to get with those two games. And I can't sit here and said we're going to win those games outright.
There's even Gilvy Sint, who's been on a little bit of a streak before.
And that's on the road, right?
That's on the road,
on the road.
But those trips up north, man, they're tricky. They're very tricky, as we've been seeing.
And then we got to go to Porto B in between Braga and Sporting.
Yeah, they don't scare me.
They shouldn't scare you, but Dave, you know, the off field.
The Mala is gonna be a big old luggage. One of them, the ones you gotta pay to take, not a carry on.
Nick Valadão is saying, I also predict that we will see our third kit for the first time this year against Inter. Or?
But the yellow, we've seen the yellow already.
The third kit is the white.
No,
one.
The white.
Oh, we've seen the white one also, but we've seen that one too.
Have we? What game?
I think we have seen the white.
Yeah, we've seen the white one too. It was not the first time. I don't know the games, but we've worn it. We've worn it at least once, if not more. But we've worn the white already. Who the hell was it?
Manny Valadão is saying, tomorrow I'm going with the tried and true Benfica method of supporting the team. Pessimistic and feel team is gone, is going to lose in hopes that it's the opposite. So he's got a little reverse jinx.
Yeah.
Manny going on here. He's going to put his underwear inside out, and he's going to hope that the team is going to crash and burn, and at the end, he's going to be surprised and the team will perform well. Good job. That's how we do it. Gary B., we have to believe. Yeah, we got it. We got it.
A bola cadernos with a little poem. Benfica, tu é a nossa vida. Benfica, tu és o nosso amor. Jogar contra quem não interessa. Vamos ver o Benfica com amor. Hey, um poema.
How do you know that's not a chant?
I don't know. Because it could be a poem. I don't know. Let's make it a poem.
But anyway, look, I think that there's not one Benfiquista out there that truly, not reverse jinx, that truly doesn't think that Benfica can win this game tomorrow. Even though somebody was saying that you're stressing.
Yeah, a lot.
Raining is saying that you're stressing.
Yeah, I'm stressing. I mean,
at the end of the day, let me ask you this. At the end of the day, if Benfica goes out against Inter, do you still consider the Champions League to have been a successful campaign?
Depends on the way they play tomorrow. Once again, it's all about the way, the context, the way you go out. And again,
0-0.
But how do they play?
Okay.
Play well?
Play okay.
I mean, it'll leave, you know, sour taste in the mouth. Because it's one thing, had we lost 2-0 to Man City, and then you go to Man City, you draw 0-0 and you get knocked out. But aside from Benfica, this is the easiest opponent in the whole Champions League, which is Inter. We got the perfect draw. And it leaves you with the feeling that we could have done a little bit more. And it just so happens, as I stated at the beginning of the podcast, I'll state it again, which is Benfica picked the worst time of the year to go through this struggle. And every club goes through them. But right now, it just, it's been bad performance after bad performance. And the least, the last thing you wanted to do was now. An opportunity to go to Champions League semifinals. Against the Milan, that looks good against Napoli. But again, a game that Benfica, I think, would compete in. You know what I mean? And you have an opportunity to avenge the 1991 final and whatever and and all this, and it just, it feels like Benfica could have done more.
I agree.
But look, I will do this after the game, not now. If Benfica is eliminated, then come to me with the talk about pa, agora temos que focar no campeonato. Aí tô contigo. But don't start with that conversation before kickoff. That I don't want to hear, because Benfica should focus on every game, not just the campeonato.
I agree. I think tomorrow's got to be a win or a win. There's nothing around it. I think that the players really have to dig deep, and they got to find it. Would you give up a loss tomorrow if it meant that we'd win the championship?
No, man. Benfica, bro. How many times I've sitting on this podcast? Benfica plays every game to win.
I just asked you a question. Would you take a loss tomorrow if the end result is we win the championship?
I want to win tomorrow. And I want to win the championship.
I do too.
I want to win every game we play.
Every game.
Every game.
It doesn't work that way. We're more likely to lose the championship with a loss tomorrow. Everything's emotional.
You think everything's tied, Dave?
Pardon?
You think everything's tied?
It is. It's all confidence based, right? You saw what this team does with one.
No way.
Oh, God. Please.
The good times, Dave. The good times.
No, I understand what you're trying to say, bro, but I don't want that option. The only option I want is to win. It's the only option I want. Win every game. Then if you lost it, then you tell me, like I said to you, hey, we lost. We're out of the competition. Now we got to focus. Okay, but don't give me an option like that, man. Benfica, we should never want to lose any game. Doesn't matter.
I'll
spin it another way, Dave.
Here's another question. I just wanted to ask you a question. Win the Champions League.
SOB. SOB says, cut it out with that talk. We're going through.
Yes, we are.
That's it.
We're going through.
Wow, you're mouth to God's ears, man. I'll be the happiest Benfica anyway around.
That's all we got. I think that we take it to overtime and then we win it in overtime with Roger substitutions. But I don't think it's going to be easy. But like, I mean, the hopeless romantic in me is hoping that we could see Benfica vintage.
Nick Valadon says exactly that. He says if we end up getting knocked out tomorrow, at least make it a performance like last year against Liverpool when we fought the way to the end. Exactly. There is context to it. There's losses and then there's losses. Sometimes you can get confidence even from a loss, depending on the opponent, right? Like you mentioned, Liverpool last year, I think Benfica, a lot of people, I don't want to say we were content with losing, but we were content with the way the team performed. And so, again, it all comes down to the way the team performs tomorrow, and then
I agree. It's got to be a better showing than what we've seen in the past three games. It has not been pretty. Not been pretty at all, both from a performance standpoint, but also as a result, from the results, as you guys know. Anyway, that is all we got for you this week. Next week, we'll be back. We'll recap this Sturil game and obviously the Inter game. And hopefully it'll be a happy one, Dave. I'm tired. It's three weeks in a row that we're over here.
Hey,
with
Dave, if they overturn this tomorrow, me and you might just do a podcast ourselves.
If they overturn what?
The 2-0 deficit.
Oh. Olha. You want to do a podcast without me?
I'm just joking, dude.
All right.
We'll all be so excited. We'll all want to jump somewhere and talk about
it. It's possible.
I mean, Jesus. Yeah,
That's why you got Benfica after 90.
That'll be crazy. If Benfica after 90, probably be
those
doing
guys
a post game,
right? Yeah, those guys are on top of their shit. Anyway, that's all we got. Thank you so much for everyone that's joined us, that's been active in the chat. We appreciate you immensely.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight, do me a favor. A couple Hail Marys and Our Fathers before you go to bed, you know. And, you know, we'll see what happens. Thanks a lot, everyone. Take care. Forza Benfica.
Send Dave a kiss. He looks sad.
Bye, Dave.
I'm stressing too. Ciao.